Good morning. Wonderful. Oh, it is so good to be with all of you today. My name is Reverend Emma Sandcombe, and I'm so happy to be able to fill in while Pastor Jacob is on vacation with his beloved fiance. They're on their way back from Door County today, and Jacob will be back in the office tomorrow. If you are new here today and interested in learning a little bit more about the congregation or have questions, I believe there's a QR code. If you would like to take your phone and scan the QR code, that will take you to a Google form so you can answer some questions or ask some questions about the congregation here. And then just a friendly reminder that there's a shared Lenten service with Waupun United Methodist Church on Wednesday at 7:15. At this time, I want to invite Becky to share an announcement.
Good morning. This is probably sounding repetitive. I was supposed to have a confirmand here this morning, but I'm filling in. This year's confirmation class invites you to join us for a soup luncheon fundraiser on Sunday, April 26th, immediately following the 9:30 a.m. service. Come and enjoy delicious homemade soups and warm fellowship. A Goodwill offering jar will be available for donations. The confirmands are raising funds to replenish the Faith Formation Retreat account, and we need your support to make this event a success. In addition to joining us for lunch, would you consider donating a gift basket or an item for our silent auction? Your contributions will help make this a fun and meaningful event for everyone. Gift baskets and auction items will be displayed about 3 weeks before the luncheon, giving everyone a chance to browse, buy raffle tickets, and show their support leading up to the 26th. Thank you from the confirmation class.
If you would please rise if you are willing and join me in the call to worship. Tell me something good.
God loves you more than you can imagine.
Tell me something good.
God loves all of creation more than you could imagine.
Tell me something good.
God's love meets us in this service of worship. We are not alone.
This is good news indeed.
Let us worship our compassionate God.
Please join me in the opening prayer.
Good news, God, speak louder than the news updates. Speak louder than our mental distractions. Speak louder than our anger and louder than our fear. God, speak loudly to us today because we long to hear your good news once more. With hope we pray. Amen.
Please join me in our opening hymn, number 706, I Come With Joy, verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. Family of faith, we long to love others as God loves us. But that work is easier said than done. We lose our way. We become distracted. We grow fearful. We need God's grace. Fortunately for us, God's grace is freely and abundantly given. So join me in the prayer of confession. Join me in being transformed. Merciful God, did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? Did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? Did we see you alone and offer you compassion? Or did we cross the street? Did we avert our eyes? Did we come up with every excuse in the book? God, we long to be people who love our neighbors with the same overwhelming love that you have for them. But we must admit, we have a long way to go. Forgive us for the times when we let bias, scarcity, or fear get in the way of love. Wash us clean and give us the courage to try again. With hope for a better tomorrow, we pray. Amen.
Faith family, even when we act with judgment, even when we are guided by fear, even when we turn our back on our neighbors in need, God does not turn God's back on us. So join me in this good news declaration. We are seen, we are forgiven, we are invited to try again. Thanks be to God for this unending love. Amen.
You can be seated. Our first reading today comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and when he went into the Pharisee's house, he reclined to dine. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair, kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owned 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me." Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Would you please join me in a moment of prayer? O gracious and loving God, we invite your Spirit into this space this morning. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears. Allow us to hear the things that we need to hear today, and allow us to let go of the things that we need to let go of. In your beloved Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for welcoming me back into this space. It's been a little bit since I've had the privilege of filling in for Jacob while he's been on vacation. I think the last time I was here, I was fresh out of maternity leave, and I had a brand new baby. You may have seen this now 2-year-old running around. She's probably in the back somewhere because she refuses to sit still for more than 2 seconds. So as I was trying to think of the last time I was here, it's probably been about 1.5 years, and I would imagine that a lot has changed in your lives in the last 1.5 years. There certainly has been a lot changing in our world in the last 1.5 years, and there's been a lot changing in my world, too, with Miss Cora. As I mentioned, she's running around all the time, but we are starting to reach a point where she likes to slow down every once in a while to read some books. She loves looking at books. And I'm really proud of the collection that we're starting to build together. She's got a bookshelf in her room, and the books mostly stay there, but sometimes they're strewn around the floor. And we've got your traditional classics like Goodnight Moon and Oh, the Places You'll Go or Owl Babies. But one of her favorites lately has been from the series A Little Spot of Feelings. Is anybody familiar with this series? It was new to me, introduced by some neighbors and friends, but the author is Deanna Elber, and it's A Little Spot of Feelings series. Deanna's books include stories about identifying our feelings and how to care for and honor those feelings that we notice. And so Cora and I have been practicing identifying how we're feeling, noticing when we feel calm or angry or happy or sad. And she's starting to get pretty good at naming when she feels a particular way. And she's also gotten pretty good at noticing those feelings in others. So Cora's favorite book in this series about feelings right now is actually a book called A Little Spot of Empathy. And I will never be mad at her wanting to reread this over and over and over again, because I think it has such a beautiful story in it. And I have to acknowledge that if there was a children's moment today, I would have brought this book to read it, because I think it's just so precious. But as the story of A Little Spot of Empathy unfolds, the detective Spot notices that there's a little boy who appears to be sad. And the picture depicts a group of kids playing soccer together, and the little boy standing off to the side has tears in his eyes. And the little detective Spot invites us to look at this situation from different perspectives. Is he maybe sad because he wasn't invited to play soccer with the other kids? Or is he maybe sad because he doesn't know how to play soccer? Or maybe he's sad because he actually wanted to play a different game altogether? And then when the little girl in this story goes to check in on this little boy who is sad, she first asks herself a couple of questions to maybe understand how he is feeling. She asks questions like, what could this person be feeling? Have I maybe felt that way before? How would I want to be treated if I was in his situation? When she asks these questions and meets the other child where he is, she's honoring that she may not know what he is going through or what he is experiencing, but she can still show up for him with empathy and hear from his perspective. And she practices this by approaching him and saying, I understand how you're feeling. I have maybe felt this way before, and that would make me really sad too. Our gospel reading for today shares a similar story. Both the story from the little spot of empathy and both of our gospel lessons center around interpreting someone's pain, and both of these stories expose the difference between choosing empathy or choosing judgment. And both stories, I think, invite us to ask, who do we see, or what do we see as these stories unfold? In our gospel, rather than choosing empathy and a willingness to see someone else's perspective or experience, we're going to see something else. Jesus is invited into the house of a Pharisee to share a meal. And Jesus goes and he sits down and he actually reclines. So he's very relaxed in this space. It sounds like it's a space that he feels quite comfortable being himself in. And at some point in this meal, we notice that a woman from the community, from the village, hears that Jesus is at this home. And what does she do? But she wants to show up. So she shows up at this house, uninvited, in tears. She shows up crying, and she approaches Jesus, and she stands behind him, and she's weeping. But she doesn't just stand there weeping. She actually gets down to the ground, and she's still weeping, and she starts washing Jesus' feet with her tears. She's washing Jesus' feet with her tears, and she's washing Jesus' feet with this ointment that she has brought along, and then she starts drying Jesus' feet with her hair. And she doesn't stop there. She actually starts kissing Jesus' feet too as she's putting this ointment on his feet. Can you imagine for a second what the other guests might have been experiencing in this situation? Can you imagine how startled everybody might have been? This was probably not on their agenda for the evening or how they thought the night was going to unfold. What kind of questions do you think these other guests might have been asking? Maybe, why is she here? Why is she crying? Why is she washing Jesus' feet? What is she hoping to accomplish by being here right now? Rather than asking some of those questions, the Pharisee who has invited Jesus into his home thinks to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who she is. He would have known what kind of person, what kind of woman is touching him right now. Now, all we know about this woman from the story, if we're looking just at the context that the scripture has to offer us, is that she is a sinner. Obviously, nobody is perfect, and I would have to say that each one of us here is some kind of sinner, because nobody, like I said, is perfect. So the only clues that we have for this story, other than that she is a sinner, is if we put on that detective hat, acting like the detective spot, is that she also has this ointment or perfume that she brings with her. So she has this ointment, and in that culture, in that context, it could either be interpreted as she was very wealthy because she was able to afford this particular perfume, or she was a prostitute. Which is probably why Simon, the Pharisee, is thinking, does Jesus know who this is? Does Jesus know what kind of person is touching him? The response of Jesus should not surprise us. It doesn't matter if she is a prostitute or if she is wealthy. What matters is that she shows up. She shows up in tears and maybe with the intention of seeking forgiveness, or with the intention of repenting for her sins. Maybe she is showing up because she is seeking healing from Jesus, because she's heard talks from the town that this is something that he does. Or maybe she's showing up because she knows the works that Jesus does and she wants to participate in this meaningful and important ministry. But regardless of why this person shows up, Jesus acknowledges that that's the type of character that he cares about. Not only does Jesus recognize the character of what she is doing, but Jesus also recognizes the character of Simon, the Pharisee. And Jesus calls him out on it. Jesus calls Simon his unspoken objection or judgment towards this woman and shares this parable that we heard. Jesus says, if a money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50, when they couldn't pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which one of them would love him more? Simon responded with, I suppose the one whom had canceled the greater debt. And Jesus acknowledged that he judged rightly. Even still, in that story of the debtors that Jesus shares, both of these individuals who are debtors are human and they are sinners. Both are made in the image of the divine, and both are forgiven of their debts. Both respond with different levels of understanding and appreciation. And Jesus goes on to point out that the actions of this woman, washing and drying his feet, were culturally things that Simon was actually supposed to do as the host welcoming Jesus into his house, welcoming this traveler. The washing of feet, the drying of feet, preparing for a meal are things that Simon should have actually done. So I wonder if the questions we should be asking here are, why did this woman show up so boldly and vulnerably? And how do we learn from her bravery as we are called to show up boldly and as she receives forgiveness? What does this woman bring to the table? What is she actually bringing to the table here? What does she have to offer that we're supposed to notice? And I can't help but wonder if we reframe our response from that of judgment or shame to a space of empathy and maybe even compassion, we might find that we need to be asking ourselves the same questions. After all, aren't we all sinners too? Where are we being called to show up boldly right now and with a level of vulnerability? What do we carry that we might be ashamed of or need to repent of right now? And what do we bring to the table? What do we bring that might actually make a difference to God, to not only God, but to each other as well? Jesus says that her actions demonstrate great love. Yet Simon grossly misinterprets what she has done. Both Jesus and Simon witness the exact same moment, the exact same situation that they are present for. Yet they both interpret it in very, very different ways. They both had two very different perspectives of what happened. The question isn't what we see. The question in this story is how we interpret what we are seeing. What the woman did was bold and very risky. She had no idea how the house or Jesus was going to respond. There was probably a very large social cost to showing up and not knowing how Jesus might respond. But her bravery led to a space of healing and growth and forgiveness. And not only did she experience forgiveness and praise from Jesus, Jesus reminds us that it is faith exactly like this that which is required to love those who are overlooked, to love those who are outcasts, the neighbors that we may not appreciate or love, those that are on the other side of the fence or border. And turning to our second reading for a moment, the story Jesus shares is that I was hungry, you gave me food. For I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. And so on and so forth. Jesus says, truly I tell you, just as you did to the least of these, you did it to me. The text is asking us whether we showed up for each other. And what I think is so profoundly important for us to understand about this text is that the stranger, the hungry, the immigrant, the one who annoys us, the one who we ignore, is in fact the embodiment of the divine. In other words, the judge of the earth is the least of these. So in both of these stories, the stranger, the sinner, the hungry, the thirsty are not just representations of the divine, sent by the divine. They are the divine. Or at the very least, the divine is embodied in each and every one of them. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus aligns himself with the sinner. And in Matthew 25, Jesus identifies himself with the hungry and the stranger. And in both of these texts, the divine hides in the person that we least expect. So my question today for you, friends, is if that is where God is, if that is where the divine is, where should we be looking today for the divine? Where should we be looking to love our neighbor? I think I could probably name quite a few countries or communities that need a little extra love right now. We, like the women with tears and oil, are called out of spaces of comfort to show up boldly, even if it makes us uncomfortable. We are called to love our neighbors. We are called, with the help of God, to ask what a person is feeling and to ask ourselves, have I felt that way before? Have I felt that way? And how would I want to be treated? And then we are invited to respond with such empathy and compassion and love. Like the detective spot, we are invited to look at each situation and event in our world and in our communities from different perspectives, particularly through the perspective and lens of Jesus Christ. So friends, as we go out into the world today, may we be people who pause long enough to ask good questions of ourselves and of each other. May we see through the lens of Jesus Christ, and may we love the divine in each and every unexpected stranger. May it be so. Amen.
Find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now, the sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become bread. that's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard, impossible is not a word, it's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life's so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep.
Friends, do we have any joys or concerns to share for the greater community this morning? Yes.
I'm asking for prayers for my friend Mike, who's just been diagnosed with two types of cancer, and his wife Heidi.
And your name is? Your name is? Sue. Thank you. Any other joys or concerns? All right. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Jesus of Nazareth, your love for this world is so strong. It is like a jar of perfume broken in a crowded room. It permeates everything it touches. God, we long to love like that. We long to love you with the same extravagant abundance that the woman with the alabaster jar displayed. However, we often get in our own way, Holy God. Today we pray, when it comes to our neighbors, give us eyes to see as you see. Give us hands to serve as you serve. Give us arms to hold. Give us feet to journey alongside. And give us hearts of compassion, just like yours. Holy One, we particularly lift up Mike this morning. We ask that you wrap your loving arms around him and his family and his friends, the doctors and nurses and caregivers, that will journey with him as he navigates these two new cancer diagnoses. May you give him a sense of strength and love in the midst of the chaos and unknown. God, we also ask that you wrap your loving arms around this world that is hurting right now. We have so many things on our heart and our minds that we don't even know how to put into words. So we offer it to you, trusting that you hear us and you know us. God, our love does not stop with our neighbor. We also long to love you. So when we pass a field of purple, remind us to say thank you. When we hear the sound of laughter, remind us that there is good in this world. When music or birdsong moves our soul, remind us that we are always present, that you are always present with us. In all of these moments, turn our hearts towards you. May we be the next ones to love boldly, to sing praise, to say thank you with gratitude for the woman in the alabaster jar. We pray together using the words that your Son has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for offering. Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Gracious God, you remind us that to love you is to love others with our gifts of time, talent, and treasure. Help us to do just that. Help us to share the good news of belonging and liberation for all. Amen. The Holy One be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God in whose image we are made. We give thanks and praise. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray together. Divine protector, defender of life, your love for this world is everlasting. As oceans burn and species go extinct, our children are made vulnerable at schools and our neighbors are denied at borders. There is so much reason to despair. But you, O God, refuse to abandon us to destruction. Christ takes on flesh in the midst of struggle. You are glimpses of hope, encounters of freedom, tastes of what satisfies when so much leaves empty. In these incarnate moments, we sense the closeness of your kingdom. Let us join together. Holy, holy, holy one God of justice and love, heaven and earth are full of your wonder. Hosanna among us. You, O God, reorder the world into right relationship. You lift high those made low. You humble the arrogant. You hear the earth groaning under capitalism and consumption, and your fire burns in the hearts of your prophets. With this hope and assurance, we turn to the witness of Jesus, whose teachings reveal the way to liberation. We seek his wisdom, we practice his courage, we remember his radical commitment to love. And on the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his companions. He took bread and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, he took a cup, and he blessed it, and he shared it with them, saying, "This cup that is poured out to you is the new covenant in remembrance of the love that saves us. We proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ was birthed among us. Christ was executed among us. Christ rises again among us." May the Spirit come and settle upon these gifts, making this bread and this cup be for us a holy encounter, reminding us that Christ is with us, that resurrection is a promise granted to us, and that the kingdom is always closer than we imagine. May we be nourished that we might nourish others. Amen. Friends, as we come to this table together, I would like to remind you that the bowl here in the center is gluten-free, and the bowls on either side are regular bread, and then we do have grape juice, so all can receive and know that they are welcome here. At this time, all things are ready, and I invite you to come forward. Thank you. Please pray with me. Beloved one, if we grow weary of in love, may this meal live on as a reminder of what sustains us. In seeking the nourishment you intend for us, our neighbors, and our planet, keep our hearts tender, our spirits alive, and our senses attuned to the beauty that surrounds. With gratitude for your abiding presence. Amen. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or spirit and sing with me our closing hymn, "Now Let Us From This Table Rise," verses 1, 3, and 4. As we prepare to go back into the world together, may we practice what we preach by saying the mission and vision statement together. We go now to love God's creation, share in fellowship, and live Christ's example, while seeking God's blessing on our lives and on our communities. Live our core values. We, the family of United Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with acceptance of all through love and commitment to Christ. Amen. May you go out into the world with the love of God, the grace of the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship of Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen.